I want to start by giving you a sense of how fast things can change in the startup world. And to do that, let me introduce you to Betsy Corcoran, co-founder and CEO of Silicon Valley-based EdSurge.
We are a company that provides news and resources and insight into anything involving education technology.
EdSurge got started in 2011. At the time, Corcoran says the startup scene in education technology, or EdTech for short, was full of really, really small companies that weren't attracting that much money. But just 4 years later, the landscape looks much different.
We're seeing now companies that have raised larger amounts of money and are operating like real businesses and have employees and things like that.
In fact, according to a report by CB Insights, which tracks venture capital investing, nationally, ed tech startups attracted roughly $1.87 billion in investments last year. That's up 55% compared to the previous year. For some perspective, between Blake Margraf's freshman and senior year at Washington University, the ed tech startup world went from mostly fledgling upstarts to producing major players like Khan Academy. And on a recent afternoon, Margraf is unlocking a door with a keypad at Washington University's Academy building.
All right, here it is.
And what's here doesn't look like much at the moment, but soon the small room will become a makerspace full of 3D printers, laser cutters, and of course, lots and lots of whiteboards. Late in 2013, Margraf co-founded Betaversity to design makerspaces like this for college students. But their big idea is to put all the stuff that will be in this room into a single shipping container.
It's essentially a makerspace all condensed and distilled into a single box.
This is BetaBox, and school districts can spend between $1,000 to $2,000 to rent the fully functional makerspace on a daily basis. Betaversity won a $50,000 Arch grant last year, and Margraf says if the company takes off, the plan is to keep it based in St. Louis. But navigating the often lengthy purchasing process used by many school districts can be a major hurdle for upstarts like Betaversity.
The average sales cycle is probably 10 times longer than for a small software product somewhere.
At the same time, there are plenty of cautionary tales of ed tech deals gone bad. And there are lingering questions about what role technology should play in classrooms in the first place. Alexander Cuenca is a professor of education at St. Louis University. He says technology can support, but can't create meaningful teacher-student interactions.
The innovation, in a sense, comes from the kind of thinkers that we develop in our school system. And so how do we get schools to give us those skill sets? How are the kids going to engage in that?
And bringing together local educators to figure out how or if technology should be used in the classroom is one potential use of something called the Ed Collabitat. The nearly 11,000 square foot facility is being built inside the Ward E. Barnes Library at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Bajal Desai Ramirez is UMSL's Executive Director of Education Innovation.
As robust as our startup ecosystem is becoming, there isn't a place that's dedicated to education.
UMSL and its College of Education are spending about $1 million to get the Collabitat off the ground. It's scheduled to open in August. Desai Ramirez says it will bring together a whole bunch of people, from entrepreneurs to teachers, to work on everything from ed tech to policy and curriculum.
So we really see innovation across the spectrum, whether it's process or product or service.
It's not really clear what will happen when the Collabitat gets rolling. But Desai Ramirez says the basic idea is a lot of stakeholders need to be at the table to help figure out the best way to educate kids in the digital age. I'm Tim Lloyd, St. Louis Public Radio.